beginning at chapter 6 of St. Matthew. Be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets, to be honoured by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show men they are fasting. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that it will not be obvious to men that you are fasting, but only to your Father, who is unseen, and your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also.
Let's pray as we come to God's word. Our Father in heaven, thank you so much for your word that you speak to us today. Thank you for this great sermon and for all that we've learnt and been challenged in and encouraged by so far in these words of Jesus, your Son. And we pray this morning as we come to hear them again that you would help us. We need your help. Thank you for your Spirit who transforms us and writes these words on our hearts. And so we ask that he'd do that today. In Jesus' name, amen. We all love being congratulated, whether it's the footballer who scores the winning goal, the businessman or woman who delivers the perfect pitch, the student who gets excellent exam results, the actor at the end of a performance, maybe the young person who's just passed his or her driving test with flying colours. We all love receiving the applause of others. Well done. Congratulations. You're amazing. And lots of the time, that applause is deserved. But what about when it comes to the Christian life? See, Christians are those who have received the kingdom of heaven, not by their own merit, but by the grace of God. Back at the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, we saw some of the character marks of the person belonging to the kingdom of heaven. Jesus said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness." In other words, Christians are those who have been humbled before God. We know that we're spiritually poor and need God's grace. We've come to mourn our sin. We've been brought to depend on God and his saving work on the cross for us in Christ. And so the Beatitudes were some of the marks of the converted Christian. But then Jesus expanded his words, also describing what it looks like to live in the light of God's grace. He spoke about it in terms of righteousness, practical righteousness. He called for a new, radical righteousness, practicing it in an unlimited way, in a way that surpassed that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law. In other words, it wasn't just an outward thing, but as those whose lives have been transformed by God, this righteousness, this new righteousness, penetrates even the hearts and the mind and our motives. So as we saw last time, we're to deal decisively with sin. We are to reflect God's character. Jesus even said chapter 5, verse 48, "Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect." But now look how 6, verse 1 begins, the beginning of our passage today. Be careful. Be perfect, but be careful. What are we to be careful about? Well, be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men, to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. Here's the big question for us today. Whose approval are you seeking? You see, the danger for us, if we're following Jesus and wanting to live righteous lives as members of his kingdom, is that we end up looking for approval in the wrong place. We might be tempted to practice the righteousness that Jesus wants in the wrong way and for the wrong reasons. Because that same desire we have, which we talked about at the beginning, for the admiration and applause of others, so easily sneaks in and influences our own Christian lives. And so we forget to humbly depend on God and wanting to please him. And that's where Jesus challenges us in this passage. Whose approval are we seeking? God's or someone else's? And 6 verse 1 is the big principle for us. The principle is that real Christian devotion is hidden, not for show. It's to please the Father, not other people. Now, of course, let me qualify that. Jesus said earlier that our Christian lives are public in many ways. He said that Christians are to be salt and light in the world. But surely there is a difference between living a humble, godly life that will be noticed by others and living a life which strives to gain the notice of others. There's a total difference of motivation between the two, isn't there? One is a disciple, humbly living under God's grace. The other is a hypocrite. Disciples know that they need a savior. They know that it's only by God's grace that our hearts are changed. And so they live for God. Hypocrites are actors. Their words and actions are all a show. What they want is to be seen. And what they desire is the congratulation and the applause of others. The hypocrite may well claim to be a Christian, a member of God's kingdom, of the kingdom of heaven. But what they really want is not the approval of heaven and the reward the Father offers, but the praise of men. The hypocrite is not someone who is living in response to God's grace. He or she only lives for himself or herself. And Jesus cuts right to the point, and he gives us three examples of areas where we'll be in danger of becoming hypocrites, of seeking approval in the wrong place. The first example is in our giving. When the hypocrite gives to the needy, he wants to be seen. Look at verse 2. "So when you give to the needy, Do not announce it with trumpets as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets to be honored by men. If you've been watching Wolf Hall, you can imagine something of the scene that's being described. At Anne Boleyn's coronation a couple episodes back, she walked through the doors, these large doors of the cathedrals, to the sounds of blaring trumpets. And then she was surrounded by guards in red capes and gold-sculpted breastplates. And she was surrounded by lots of people as she began that slow walk down the blue carpeted aisle. Now, it's unlikely that any of you announce your giving at Arborfield like that. We do have a blue carpeted aisle, but that's not the point. There's not a fanfare when you set up a standing order. But our giving can still be a show. We can still blow our own trumpet, perhaps just casually in conversation, maybe more obviously, because it boosts our egos when others see how generous we are. Maybe we need to be aware of that when the next ice bucket challenge comes round, for instance. What need is there for anyone to know about our giving or to put it on Facebook? Jesus says the hypocrites have received their reward. They've been seen. They've got what they want. And they've had all the reward they're going to get. Because they won't receive anything else from God for their pomp and show. Only judgment on the last day. But there's a more subtle danger to watch out for as well. Look at verse 3. And when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. The right hand is the active hand. It's the hand that metaphorically reaches for our wallets. And Jesus says, don't let anyone else know about your giving. But there's also a sense in which we're not even to let ourselves know about our own giving. In other words, we're not to be self-conscious in our giving. Otherwise, we might become proud and boastful, even in our own hearts. In our own hearts and minds, isn't it so easy to turn an act of mercy into an act of self-service? It's so perverse, isn't it? In our own hearts, we convince ourselves that we're giving and that we're helping the needy. And at the same time, we give in order to boost our own pride. And Christian giving is not to be marked by self-service and self-congratulation. It's to be marked by self-sacrifice and self-forgetfulness. That is a huge challenge. Our hearts work so subtly in sin. Whose approval are we seeking in our giving? We should seek neither the praise of men nor the approval of ourselves, but rather the approval of God our Father. He so generously gave up his own Son for us so that we might enjoy the riches of his grace, being welcomed into his kingdom. He so generously sent his own Son to die in our place on the cross. And he so generously rewards us. That's what Jesus says. He rewards us now with the discovery, as Jesus said in another place, that it's more blessed to give than to receive. And he'll reward us in the future when he comes and welcomes us into his kingdom. Be careful in your giving. Giving is not for show. It's not to be done like the hypocrites. It's for the Father. Here's the second area of danger to be careful in, and it's our praying. It's worth saying at this stage that we could spend hours unpacking these verses, and that would be a worthwhile exercise, but I'm not going to do it this morning. They're wonderful verses, full of rich truths about what it means to approach God in prayer. We can't do it all today. And so we'll stick to the big picture principle, which we've had highlighted previously and which Jesus highlights again in verses 5 and 6. He says, when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and on the street corners, to be seen by men. We've seen that before, haven't we? The actors are out again, and this time they're praying for a show. They're out on the streets, and they want other people to notice them. And let's be clear, it's not that praying in public is wrong. Daniel in the Old Testament prayed in public, and for a good reason. Jesus prayed in public. We pray in public. If we never prayed in public, we'd never have a church prayer meeting. If no one ever prayed in public, we probably wouldn't meet here on a Sunday morning. The problem is not praying in public. The problem is their motivation as they pray in public. It's about whose approval they're seeking. They want to be seen. They love to pray, not because they love God, but because they love the approval of others. They want to hear, or they want people to hear when they pray, to be impressed by their piety, maybe their language, maybe how fervent they pray. They want people to think, wow, what a prayer warrior that person is. I wish I could pray like them. I wish I was as godly and as holy as they are. And they get that. Jesus says, I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. They've got the applause they want, but nothing else. But when you, disciple, pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. When we pray, we're to seek God. And when we do, he's there, in the secret place, where no one else can see, waiting to welcome us. We can cry to him, our Father in heaven. What an incredible privilege that is. What reward. Christians are adopted children of God. We're forgiven, saved by grace through the cross. We're no longer alienated from God, but have come home. No one else can call God Father. So we don't need to pray to impress others, nor do we need to babble on, Jesus says, like the pagans who think they'll be heard for their many words. God sees and God hears even the secret things of our hearts. Behind closed doors, he meets with us. Nothing destroys that more than side glancing at others when we pray. Nothing destroys that more than horizontal prayers, prayers with the purpose of being heard by others and not by God, which aren't really prayers at all. When we pray, even when we're praying in public and others are sharing in our prayers, we are praying to our Father in heaven. So again, whose approval are you seeking in your praying? Why would you seek the approval of anyone else if God the Father hears your prayers? Here are some other questions we might ask ourselves. Do I pray more frequently and fervently when alone with God than I do in public? It's a good question, isn't it? Do I love the secret place of prayer? Is my public prayer simply an overflow of my private prayer? If we can't say yes to those questions, we fail the test. We're hypocrites. And I include myself in that. We need to repent of that attitude and return to God, our Father, spending time with him in private prayer. That's true Christian prayer. Be careful in your giving. Be careful in your praying. And finally, the third area that we're to be careful in is in our fasting. Now, fasting is not something we talk much about, but fasting was an important element in Jewish religious life. And it was normally connected to food. It's to do with going without food for a time so that we could spend more time with the Lord in prayer. And it seems that Jesus assumes that fasting of some kind will continue amongst his disciples today. He says, when you fast. That's a challenge in itself. Denying ourselves something good that we'd normally enjoy in order to spend some disciplined time with the Lord has got to be a good thing. But like with our giving and our praying, Jesus is concerned with drawing attention to ourselves when we fast. So verse 16, when you fast, don't look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show men they're fasting. Now, thankfully, none of us look like that this morning. But that doesn't mean that there's not a challenge for us here. How do these verses apply to something like Lent, for example? Giving up something for Lent, which lots of people do. Lots of people at this time of year give something up for Lent, which could be a great thing if done with the right reasons. We live in a culture that promotes having what we want and getting when we want it, and however we can get it. And it could be good to cut out something from our lives that we really want in order to depend on the Lord more and humble ourselves before him. But here's the thing, again. If I give up something for Lent because other people do, so that I have an answer to the what are you giving up for Lent question, then I'm doing it to be seen. It makes me an actor, just pretending to be something that I'm not, so that I fit in with the people around me. Remember, the purpose of fasting is not to advertise ourselves, but to discipline ourselves and express our humility before God. Why promote it at all? What does it matter that anyone knows what I'm giving up to spend more time with him? Look at what Jesus says in verse 17. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that it will not be obvious to men that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Whose approval are we seeking in our fasting? The only thing that matters is that the Father sees and knows. And actually, this principle doesn't just stop with giving and praying and fasting. It goes for all of our acts of righteousness, whether it's those things or other things, including the public things that we do here, whether it's preaching, leading, serving, singing, praying. Up front, I mean. You know, if you're ever up front like this, it's so easy to be influenced by the opinion of others. And that is such a dangerous thing. It's such a dangerous place to be. The most important person in the congregation is actually God. If it's the praise of others we're seeking in those things, we may well find it because we can bluff them like an actor on the stage, but we'll receive nothing from God for it, only judgment. You see, he can't be tricked. He sees. And the true Christian knows that. The true Christian doesn't need to despair either. And here's an encouragement as we read these challenging verses. Because there is also a real possibility of progress in these areas with the power of Jesus working in us. You see, Jesus fulfilled these words perfectly. He gave himself up, not for selfish gain, but for our salvation, to the glory of his Father. Jesus prayed to his Father with unhindered intimacy. Jesus fasted in the desert for 40 days, resisting temptation, so that he could be our perfect sacrifice. And it's his Spirit and his power that we now have dwelling in us. And so as we give, as we pray, as we fast, as we do our acts of righteousness, practicing the righteousness that Jesus calls for and wants, aware of those things, we can please the Father in Christ. But these are also humbling verses. Don't miss the challenge of them. At the heart of hypocrisy is a desire for praise and glory, which should only belong to God. Let's take some real time to think and to pray on these challenges. Don't leave this building forgetting what we've heard today. Let's be honest with ourselves and be honest with God about whose approval we're really seeking. And let's pray to our Father for help. We need it. And the prayer that Jesus taught his followers to pray here is a great place to start. And so in a moment, I'll leave a moment of quiet for us to reflect on what we've heard and the challenges in our own hearts, leaving us an opportunity to pray to our Father in secret. And then let's pray together the version of the Lord's Prayer in the service sheet as I lead us in a couple moments, remembering and conscious that it's our Father we're speaking to. So let's say together, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. The power and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.